Can we turn in our Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. I'm going to read from verse 1 of the chapter here. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and beginning at verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? For how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let's just unite in a word of prayer. Our loving and our gracious God, we thank thee for the opportunity of coming to thee afresh today. We thank thee for thy word, and we pray that thou wouldst even bless it now to our hearts. We come to a difficult verse, we come to a hard passage, but our God, we pray that thou wouldst give us the wisdom and the discernment that is spoken of here in this portion of thy word. Bless, O God, and speak through it to every heart. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. I'm going to take verse 6 as a text today. If not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Now, in this passage, as we saw last week, the Lord is speaking about a judgmental attitude. We thought of that verse there at the start of the chapter. Judge not that ye be not judged. We said that this verse is rapidly overtaking John 3 and 16 as the best known verse in the Bible. Well, the world loves to quote this verse when you uphold biblical standards in society. When you point out something as being sin, they will quickly say to you, judge not that ye be not judged. And they say that we're contravening scripture when we judge them in any way. Well, last time we looked at this portion of scripture and we saw that it certainly does not mean that we do not judge at all. And we will see that as we come to the text of scripture that we have before us today. But we did say that it certainly means something. It speaks of that holier than thou attitude. It speaks of the censorious, hypercritical kind of behavior that some people engage in. And he's warning here, the Lord is warning against misjudging people, of discriminating between people unrighteously. And he's saying, certainly what you need to do is make sure that you're not judging others while there is something wrong with you. Don't try to take the mote out of somebody else's eye when there is a beam in your own eye. And we need to think about that. That's something that we need to take upon board. Sometimes we can be censorious. We can be hypercritical. We can try to put others down and look down our noses at people. And certainly that's what the Lord is condemning here in this portion of scripture. John Bradford, the English reformer and the martyr, once saw a group of prisoners being led out to the execution. And he said, there but for the grace of God goes John Bradford. And perhaps he didn't know what they had done, but he knew that it was only the grace of God that had stopped him going down that road of sin. But I want you to see that now the Lord draws the balance. In verses 1 to 5, if we had just taken verses 1 to 5, perhaps we'd have come to the place where we would not feel that we could judge anybody or we could put any kind of judgment upon them or sum up or come to a conclusion about what they do. It would leave us open to all sorts of heresy if that was the conclusion. If we couldn't in any way sum up a person or in any way be critical of what they do or what they say or what they get up to, then that would lead us open to all sorts of immorality and sin. And I want you to see that the Lord now draws the balance. I think that we've seen this as we've gone through the Sermon on the Mount. What the Lord here is calling for is balanced Christianity. He puts one side, but also he puts the other side. And look at what he says in verse 6 now. He says, "Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn again and rend you." Now, C.H. Spurgeon, commenting on this portion of Scripture, said, "The saints are not to be judges, but equally, they're not to be simpletons. We are not to be blindfolded and ignorant about what the people do. We are not just to accept all that society puts upon us and be naive about it. And there is that airy-fairy liberalism today. There's the relativism of this day and generation in which everything is acceptable. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. We are not allowed to say anything about anybody in case we're described as judging them." But I want you to see that in this portion of Scripture, in this text, the Lord is calling upon God's people to have a spiritual discrimination. We are to have a discernment about that which is right and that which is wrong. There are things that are right and there are things that are wrong. And what we need today, especially in the church, is that spiritual discernment that we know what is right and what is wrong, what is true and what is false. And I want you to see that the Lord speaks here about dogs and hogs. And he goes on and he takes these two animals as an illustration of the kind of discernment that God's people ought to have. So I want us to look at this portion of Scripture. We need this spiritual discernment today. And I want you to see what the Word of God has to say. Now, this is a hard passage of Scripture. And we've got to compare Scripture with Scripture. We've got to be very careful. Some people say you can take anything out of Scripture. No, you can't if you keep it in the context. And that's what we've got to do. That's the way that we've got to proceed. And I want you to see what the Word of God has to say. I want you to see the discrimination we're to make. Now, he says here that there is a judgment that we make. He says, "Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." And obviously the Lord is speaking about people here. He's describing some as swine and some as dogs. And he says that we're not to cast our pearls before them. So we are to judge what is the heretic. We are to judge those that come with false doctrine. We are to discriminate between those that are right and those that are wrong. Now, look at what he says here. This will involve judgment, as we have seen. And I want you to see the material that we're to treasure here. He speaks of that which is holy, and then he speaks of pearls. Now, the Romans loved their pearls, and they would have put them on their furniture, that adorned their furniture, their temple goods. They would wear pearls on their clothing, and even sometimes they would have them on their shoes and even upon their laces. And with that practice, Pliny the Elder, the Roman encyclopedist, said of those people, this practice of putting pearls on their shoes, he said, it's not enough to wear pearls, but they must tread upon them and walk with them underfoot as well. So the Romans knew what it was to trample pearls into the mud and into the dust. And they did that to make an ostentatious show of themselves. But what do we mean here when the Bible speaks about pearls and that which is holy? Well, obviously what the Lord is referring to is the truth of his word, the truth of the gospel. It is holy, and we find it also referred to as pearls in the word of God. So what the Lord is saying is that we need to be careful with the word of God. We need to be careful with the gospel. We just don't throw it out everywhere, but we are to make sure that we don't cast it before dogs and before swine. Now, there is something striking. Now, the Bible urges us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We are to preach the gospel to every creature. And that is a verse that makes evangelism wide. We are to make sure that everybody in this world, if we can, hears the gospel. But here's another verse now, and it seems to narrow the context. It seems to narrow those to whom we preach the gospel. There are people to whom we should not preach the gospel, it seems. Indeed, if you were to take that verse out of its context, and if you were to take that verse by itself, you might come to the conclusion that we should not preach the gospel to the heathen at all, because we're casting our pearls before swine. Of course, if you took that point of view, you'd be contradicting the rest of the scripture. And how are the unconverted to hear the gospel if we don't go out and tell them of Jesus the mighty to save? So here is a gospel that we are to preach to every creature. And yet it seems to indicate that there are people, there are circumstances in which we should not preach that message. We should not treat the gospel like throwing scraps to pigs, or in throwing the off cuts of meat or whatever it is to the dogs. And here it is, a message that seems so striking. And he says there's a material that we're to treasure. Never, if I could put it like this, prostitute holy things. Never treat the word of God as if it's nothing. The word of God in the gospel is a treasure. The word of God in the gospel is something that is incalculably invaluable. It is something that brings men from nature's darkness and translates them into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So the gospel is not common. It's not something that we treat as if it was nothing. It is the most valuable thing. It's the most valuable message that this world can hear. And that is why the Lord is saying we are to value it. Don't just be casting it everywhere, just indiscriminately. But we are to make sure that we treat the word of God as the treasure that it is. It's a pearl. It's a holy thing. But not only do we see the material that we are to treasure, that is the word of God, but we notice the model that we are to note. Now, I've been trying to explain it, and the only way that we can really get to the depths of what we mean here is to look at the Lord and to see the way that he went about. He did not cast his pearls before swine. So what did he do with the message? He went here and there preaching the word of God. He spoke to the crowds and the people that gathered around and the multitudes that came, and he preached the word of God. But I want you to notice that in the Gospels, the Lord treated people in different ways. For example, you think of the way that he spoke to Nicodemus and the way that he spoke to Zacchaeus. It was different. You think of the difference between the way that he spoke to the self-righteous Pharisees and to the way that he spoke in tenderness to the woman who was taken in adultery. Or the most striking example is in Luke chapter 23. The two men before whom the Lord stood at the judgment before he was crucified. And when Pilate came and asked the Lord questions and spoke to him, the Lord answered. But when he was taken before Herod, and Herod had no interest in Christ, all he wanted to do was make sport of Christ, and he thought that perhaps some bride could be given to him, and he was more interested in himself and making sport of Christ. And of course he sent the Lord to be flogged. And you notice that when the Lord stood before Herod, he answered nothing. He said nothing to Herod. He didn't speak a word. And you notice the way that there's a difference. The Lord presents the same truth, but there's a difference in the way in which he treats the people before whom he stands. The same happened with the apostles in the book of Acts. For example, Paul and Barnabas went into Pisidia, and they were met with jealousy and opposition by the Jews. And we're told in Acts chapter 13 and verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So when they opposed the gospel and blasphemed the gospel, what did Paul and Barnabas do? They shook the dust off their feet and they went off and they stopped preaching to those Jews and they went and started preaching to the Gentiles. They stopped presenting the gospel to one because they had blasphemed, and they went to the others who would listen. And here they were, and they withdrew the preaching of the gospel. Can I say this to you? There are people in this world who will never be saved. They will never be saved because they reject the message of the gospel. Now, I don't understand what I'm saying. The Lord does say that we're to go and preach the gospel to every creature. But what the Lord is saying is that there's to be a balance here. Although we are to tell every man and woman and boy and girl about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that their gospel is sufficient to bring them from their sin unto salvation, we need to discern at times when a person rejects that gospel, that they have rejected it with such vehemence and with such force that we go away and leave them alone. Because bringing the precious message of the gospel to such people is only casting your pearls before swine. It's only bringing that which is holy to dogs. So there must come a time when to certain individuals, we stop preaching the gospel. So, we notice here in this portion of scripture, the discrimination that we're to make. But I also want you to see the description we are to note. Because now I'm sure your mind is racing and you're wondering to yourself, what does he mean? What is he talking about? There are people to whom we stop preaching the gospel. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, maybe I have a loved one and I've been preaching the gospel to them for years and they have rejected that message and I've been speaking to them. Does this mean that I'm to stop? Maybe there are people in work and I've been telling them about the things of God and inviting them to the word or to the gospel meeting and they've made a mockery of the things of God. Does this mean that I'm to stop? Well, let's try and work it out what we have here in this portion of Scripture. And I'm telling you, I'm dealing with a hard passage here. And the first thing I think that we need to do is look at the terms that he uses. Now, we're not to cast our pearls before swine, and we're not to bring that which is holy to dogs. But I want you to notice what the terms he uses, a dog and a pig. Now, a dog in the days of the Lord Jesus wasn't the friendly creature, the domestic hound that you might go home to today and he'll greet you or she'll greet you when you get in through the door. Dogs in the East at that time were ugly pariahs, mongrels, savages, scavengers. They went about the town and about the rubbish dumps and vicious. You couldn't approach them. They were absolutely vicious, wild in every way, prowling the garbage heaps and the rubbish in the streets, snarling at people. These were the kind of animals. A dog in those days was contemptible. Remember how the Lord said of those, he warned the Jews in Philippians chapter 3, he said, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the contagion. And he's speaking there of those that rejected the gospel. He describes them as dogs. But they're vicious. Rejecting everybody, snarling at those that pass by. That's a dog. And then it speaks of swine. And again, it wasn't the little piggies that you get in the nursery rhymes. These were wild animals again, savages again, the wild boar. You think of how much the swine is held in contempt in the Bible, in that when the devils were cast out of the man who was in Gadara, the demoniac of Gadara, they went into the swine. They were an unclean animal as far as the Jew was concerned. And the pig, the thing about the pig is that it is undiscriminating about what it eats. Often people, especially in times gone by, would have got all the off scouring of the food, everything that was left over, rotten food, and the pig will eat anything, good or bad. And I suspect that that's why the Lord Jesus is using the metaphor here. It is the picture of somebody that doesn't have the spiritual ability to recognize that which is good and that which is bad. They have no thought of that which is rotten as compared to that which is good. You think of the characteristics here then. You have the dog and its viciousness. And you have the pig with its uncleanness and its inability to discriminate between that which is right and that which is wrong. And I do not profess today to have all the answers, but I think that there we have the key. I think that by the people that the Lord is describing, he's describing somebody that is so hostile against the gospel that they become vicious. That they would seek to oppose the gospel, to attack it in any way that they can. Similarly with the pig, it is undifferentiated between that is holy and that which is common. And the pig wouldn't appreciate an expensive exotic meal prepared by a gourmet chef as compared to the swill that it gets. They don't care about the real value of anything. And I think that that's what the Lord is saying. The person that is aggressive against the gospel. The person that, you know, you go round the doors. And though most people have no time for the gospel and will not hear the gospel, there are those that come at you with a hatred and a vehemence. I've had dogs set on me in the past. I've had people who have been absolutely, they just burst out in anger as soon as you speak to them about the gospel. Now, there are times when I've gone back to a door like that and I've passed it by because of that aggressiveness. Now, at times I have gone back to the same people. But I think that when a person becomes aggressive like that against the gospel, rejecting the gospel with viciousness, that's when we are to stop, because we're only casting our pearls before swine. Or you think of the difference between Herod and Pilate at the trial. And Herod here just wanted to make sport of Christ. He wanted to see some miracle done. He was just there. He thought nothing of the gospel. He was just treating it with profanity. Pilate, on the other hand, though he rejected Christ on the other hand, at the end, was asking questions and he wanted to let the Lord go. And he was not treating the Lord with a high hand as Herod was. And I think that Herod was condemned because he had no thought about the gospel. He had no regard whatsoever for the things of God. And you get people who have no regard, no thought of the holiness of the message or the need of the message. And sometimes when we go out and bring the precious message of the gospel to people like that, it's just like casting your pearls before swine. They have no thought or no conception. Now we're to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. We'll come to that in a minute. But when it comes to outright rejection, then sometimes we've got to think. So we notice the description that we are to note. But then I want you to see the discernment that we're to show. Because now, as I say, we're dealing with something different, difficult. I'm sure you're wondering, how does this work? How does this work practically for me? Well, we've got to have discernment. One of the things that is missing among even God's people today is that spiritual discernment. Now, I've been talking about those that are violent against the gospel. But I want you to remind you about the Apostle Paul. Because Saul was going up to Damascus, breathing out threatening and slaughter against the people of God. And yet God spoke to him. So, it is not necessarily just the violence that stops us from speaking to somebody, because God spoke to Saul of Tarsus. It may be that somebody in your workplace is constantly mocking at the things of God. But they are mocking because other people are mocking. They may not mean it. They may not really see what they're doing in their hearts. Now, this is what I'm talking about, discernment. Really, this is a matter of the heart. The Lord here knew the heart of Herod, that he was so fixed and uncaring and hostile against the gospel that there was no point in bringing the precious message of the gospel to him. Others like Saul of Tarsus, who were persecuting the Christians and violent against God, God did speak to them. Because God could see in the heart of Saul that there was a regard for the truth and for the things of God. And so what I say to you today is that this is a matter of discernment. You say, how can I look into somebody's heart? Well, that's the difficulty. That's where we need the discernment that God gives. We often cannot tell what is in somebody's heart. We often cannot tell whether they're mocking because they treat the things of God just as nothing, or whether it is that they're just mocking because they hear other people mocking and they feel that they must join in. But sometimes you can tell. Sometimes you can tell when somebody is so vicious and so enraged by the gospel that there has been within their heart that final rejection of Christ. They've committed the unpardonable sin. There is no way of salvation for them. And the Lord says, don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't be going out bringing the blessed message of the gospel. Sometimes we go, you know, and preach the word of God to people, and maybe in the workplace, and it only becomes a matter of mockery. We're only giving ammunition to the devil and to the devil's crowd because it becomes a matter of mockery. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Just pray that God will open the heart. And so we need spiritual discernment. You say, where will I get spiritual discernment? Well, Tozer said, among the gifts of the Spirit, scarcely none is of greater practical usefulness than the gift of discernment. John 7 and verse 24, where the Lord said, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And he means discernment. And in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 2 and 3, here's where we get this discernment. It speaks, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. So what are we saying? This spiritual discernment is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But we need discernment today. We know that people need to hear the gospel. And we need to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. But you know, there comes a time when men can so reject the message, can so set themselves against the things of God that really all we're doing when we're preaching to them is casting our pearls before swine. Met a man this week, and he said to me, I've no interest in religion. He said, I've spoken to priests, spoken to ministers, spoken to all people, kind of people. And he says, I've no interest in religion. You're only wasting your time giving me an invitation. And perhaps we were. Perhaps we were only wasting our time. You know, there are situations where preaching the gospel only becomes an object of ridicule. We shouldn't let that happen. We shouldn't let it ever come to the point where the gospel becomes a matter of constant ridicule. Now, we know that the apostles went into the marketplaces and were ridiculed. That's something. That's one thing. But where we get to the place where the gospel is constantly held up to ridicule, we need to be careful about the preciousness of the Word of God. We need spiritual discernment. And oh, that God might give us that discernment in this day. This is a day of hardness and indifference towards the things of God. We need to pray that God will open up the way. We need to get down on our knees and pray that God will open up hearts to receive the blessed message of Christ. He says here in this portion, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. May God write that word upon our hearts, and may we always treasure the preciousness of the gospel. Let's